Welcome to this edition of More Talk, a Medacta USA podcast dedicated to continuing education, selling tools, and calendar updates of coming events. Every edition of this podcast is brought to you by the team at the More Institute, where our mission is to provide continuing clinical education support to medical and sales professionals the world over.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's edition of More Talk, a Medacta USA podcast dedicated to continuing education, the sharing of sales tools, and product updates. Every month, this podcast is brought to you by the team at the Medacta Academy, where our mission is to provide continuing clinical education support to medical and sales pros the world over. On this month's podcast, we're going to hear from Daniel Limina from the HIP team, as he's going to share an update concerning some key marketing materials available for you to use in sales support. That's going to be followed by Dave Conley of the Knee team discussing the MyKnee Ligament Balancing System, and he's going to do this in interviews with Dr. Wesley Clark of New Orleans, as well as getting perspective from Dr. Clark's sales rep, Jeff Gusdorf. Finally, Adam Hawkins will recap Medacta's presence at the recent San Diego Shoulder Course, sharing updates on a few key presentations from that course. So there's lots of great content this month. Let's get started. Let's kick off our first segment with Daniel Limina. Daniel will be providing an overview of some of the newly created HIP marketing material for the My Amis Experience Initiative, as well as Becker's ASC review. Take it away, Daniel.
Hi, everybody. Daniel Limina here with the HIP marketing team. I want to talk to you about three resources we have developed to help spread the word about Medacta, the Amis Experience, the MasterLock STEM System, and the MPACT Dual Mobility Cup. We have created a marketing tool called the My Amis Experience. In these interviews, we speak with surgeons who have gone through the Medacta educational experience and adopted the Amis approach. In our first interview, we spoke with Dr. Neil Sheff from the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Sheff detailed how refreshing it was to see a medical device company that is so committed to education. He was very impressed to find out that Medacta will send proctors to each learning surgeon's first cases. Dr. Sheff also provides an overview of his Amis learning curve and shares some advice to a new surgeon who is thinking about embarking on learning the Amis approach. In our second interview, we sat down with Dr. Tom Ellis from Columbus, Ohio. In this interview, Dr. Ellis expressed his dissatisfaction with other approaches that he had used in the past. He was in search of an approach where he didn't have to take down the gluteal muscles and didn't have to worry about patient dislocation or patients having a chronic limp. That's when he found the Amis approach. Dr. Ellis shares with us how the Amis approach has helped his practice grow immensely and simultaneously change the quality of life, as he is not as tired or worn out at the end of a busy day performing THA. Please check out these articles, as they're a great resource to reinforce Medacta's commitment to education and the benefits of adopting the Amis approach. Lastly, there was recently an article published in the Becker's ASC review detailing the importance of femoral and acetabular implant selection and how they can optimize offset restoration and improve joint stability. The article outlines how the MasterLock STEM and MPACT DM Cup are perfectly positioned to address these issues. In the article, MasterLock designing surgeon Dr. Ed Stolarski of Sarasota, Florida, expresses his great satisfaction with the MasterLock STEM system and how the three offerings of femoral offset within an 11mm range can fit all patient demographics. Lastly, Dr. Rajiv Jain of Kishwaukee, Illinois, explains how the MPACT double mobility cup has become an important part of his HIP practice and allows him to address problems such as spinal pelvic mobility issues, displaced femoral neck fractures, patients with CCD, or meet the demands of a young, active patient undergoing THA. All three of these articles are great resources to reinforce Medacta and our products. They are all available in print or PDF form. Please contact myself or your customer service agent for a copy of our most up-to-date literature order form.
Thanks, guys. Remember, you and your key accounts can visit any of the surgeons used in the many HIP promotional items at any time. You can contact Daniel, Brian Parker, or Brian Emmerich to arrange those meetings today. Moving on to our monthly overview of key knee opportunities, we're now joined by Dave Conley, who's going to provide a little more insight on an often overlooked product in the Medacta portfolio, the Medacta MyKnee LBS. Dave's going to be joined by Dr. Wesley Clark from New Orleans, as well as his sales associate, Jeff Gusdorf, to discuss their experience using this system.
Thanks, Matt. Hey everybody, it's Dave from the Knee Marketing Team here. One of the most exciting developments that I saw when I very first came over to Medacta was the MyKnee LBS, or Ligament Balancing System. Customized patient instrumentation has been dominated by the measured resection type of a surgical approach, which is, you know, essentially cut here, here, here in relationship to the bony landmarks, and then release soft tissues as necessary to make the knee function correctly. That's why this is so different, though. It's a blend of the accuracy of MyKnee using CT or MRI precision, while still allowing each patient's soft tissue to drive the femoral rotation and essentially the balance of the knee. It's unique, and it's in your bag to sell. I've asked Dr. Wesley Clark from New Orleans to discuss his experience with LBS, as well as his rep, Jeff Gustorf, for the rep's perspective. So here with Dr. Wesley Clark. Thank you, Dr. Clark, for joining us. Just wanted to start off by asking you just a couple of questions. What has your experience been so far using the MyKnee LBS cutting blocks?
Sure, Dave, and thank you for having me today. Well, kind of to go back to, it started probably 2 years ago. I was in a meeting in Australia, and I came to find out that about 90% of the Australian surgeons that I was talking to were using a medial stabilized knee design implant. And so I got back from that meeting and I kind of looked a little further into it. And I was wondering why and kind of started looking critically at some of my patients and looked back to see what kind of, you know, issues they may have had, the ones that weren't happy, because we all have, you know, 10 to 20% of patients after knee replacement that aren't happy. And I found that a lot of them did complain about issues with, you know, going up and down stairs or getting out of a seated position, which to me goes back to a little bit of that mid flexion stability. And so I kind of got me interested in the medial stabilized design for that reason. And then I started looking into, you know, the next step, you know, who would I use for that? Who has that? And a colleague and friend of mine recommended look at Medacta for not only that reason, but for some other reasons that at the same time I was looking at doing outpatient total knees. And with that, Medacta has the great efficiency and my knee, which makes everything at the surgery center set up just kind of come together perfectly. Also, at the same time, I was learning the direct anterior approach, and you know, the educational opportunity that Medacta has with that is by far superior to any other company that I've worked with. And so kind of all those things came together for me to kind of get exposed to the GMK sphere, as well as the efficiency instrumentation and the MyKnee. And it was probably a couple months after I started first looking at it that after talking with some of the sales force and surgeons that had experience with it, that I realized that the LBS was something that was offered through Medacta. And it was a good fit for me because my current technique was one of a kind of a hybrid gap balancing measure resection, if you will, in the fact that I used a tensioner to, after I made my distal femoral cut and proximal tibial cut, to go into flexion and tension the knee to set my rotation. And I had kind of switched from that over a few years' time as I was trained throughout residency and fellowship using a straight measure resection technique. And in my experience, since I was out, I found that I was having to go back a lot and make additional recuts to do the balancing properly. And as I'd switched over to this kind of hybrid system, I found that I was doing less and less recuts, which I really liked. And that's where kind of LBS came into to play, where this was a similar technique to what I was already utilizing, but I had the advantage of using the medial stabilized knee with a sphere and also the efficiency, disposable instrumentation, and the MyKnee patient-specific blocks. So that's kind of how it all came about. And we've been doing them now for several months and have been quite happy with the results we're getting.
That's fantastic. So what are you seeing as far as femoral rotation with the system? Are you seeing more or less internal, external rotation? Can you talk a little bit about how the system works with that?
Sure. And kind of what we see is it's really specific to each patient, which is the beauty of the system. And the whole point of it is, you know, on most of my cases, I find that it's usually between 3 and 6 degrees, but it may be 3.5 degrees or it may be 4.7 degrees. So wherever it falls, you know, that's kind of what the patient needs to balance their flexion gap to match your extension gap that you've already established. And that's kind of the beauty of it, because once you find it, it's not set at 3 or not set at 5, well, like with traditional instrumentation.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great. How are the patients doing with the sphere knee using this system?
You know, of the ones we've seen in follow-up, I will say that I think that we have a lower rate of patients complain about that issue that I'd seen with my other, you know, cruciate retaining knees of mid-flexion instability, where they have trouble going up and down stairs, or maybe it feels a little unstable in certain positions, or getting up out of a chair, that sort of thing. So I would say that I think I've seen a lower incidence of that with the sphere knee.
That's fantastic. That's really, really good. So what are some watchouts for surgeons that may want to start using LBS? Have you found any tips or tricks that you think will come in handy?
Sure. Yeah, that's, I guess, if you're converting from strictly traditional instrumentation to the MyKnee and patient-specific blocks, that's kind of one thing. I had some experience previously with some other companies using patient-specific blocks, and, you know, one thing I found, that I never really felt like they had a really good fit that I would like to have. And, you know, I've seen quite different with Medacta's MyKnee. I think that I'm using a CT-based program. And, you know, I find that once you kind of clear off the soft tissue and the cartilage from the bone, that it has a really nice snug fit, and it comes, you know, with a good model that you can kind of template off of and see how it should fit, see where you need to make the cleanup of the cartilage and the soft tissue so that it does fit properly. So one kind of tip is that just to, you know, especially if you're going from something like a patient-specific guide for the first time, just to be very thorough with kind of cleaning up the cartilage. If you're using a CT-based system, you need to kind of clean all the cartilage from where the foot's going to sit to get your position, and also any soft tissue surrounding that to make sure you have a good fit of your patient-specific block. The other thing, you know, one thing that has changed a little bit with the sequence of events, with the LBS, you cut tibia first, which was a little different from my traditional. I would always cut femur first. Either I would do distal femur and then finish off femur, or later I went to where I would cut distal femur, cut proximal tibia, balance and extension, then go to flexion. But with the LBS, you cut tibia first. And some of the early cases I found that I was cutting tibia first and kind of maybe forgot that I cut tibia. So I went to go set up and make my distal femoral cut. The blade got a little bit into the tibia cut. So if you hadn't cut tibia yet, that's not always a big problem because you're cutting that bone away. But if the tibia is resected and you're cutting into your new fresh cut, that could be an issue if you go too far with it.
Good point. How's doing tibia first been for you? Are you struggling with getting that exposure, or has it been pretty easy so far?
No, the exposure hasn't been a problem. You know, there may be one or two cases in a real, quite severe contracted patient that we struggled a little bit, just had to take a little extra time to get that exposure. But for the most part, the exposure's been fine. The cut blocks fit good, and there's no issue other than, like I said, those first couple where the saw blade got a little bit into our tibia cut, which you just have to be mindful and watch out for. One thing you can do to kind of help avoid that is after you make your tibia cut and you go and set your distal femoral block and get it in position, check your extension gap and balance, then before you make that femoral cut, you know, go into deep flexion in the knee and even push a little traction onto the tibia so that the tibia kind of falls back and gives you a little gap. And I've also sometimes used a PCL retractor. And then also, too, if you leave the LBS tibial surface in place, that'll give you somewhat of a protection as well.
That's fantastic. That's great. So if surgeons would like to come and learn the LBS system, are you able to have surgeons come to your facility?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can have them come. I'm usually in the hospital setting on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then the outpatient on Fridays. Fantastic. So they could come in.
That's great. Okay. And that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Clark. We appreciate your time and your inputs. And now we'll talk to Jeff. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey there, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. So can you tell me, as a rep, what is different for you when your surgeon starts using LBS versus MyKnee?
So there's really not a lot of changes from the rep standpoint. As long as you understand the sphere knee, the efficiency in MyKnee, this is really just an added tool that we're able to use to balance that flexion gap. So it's a very valuable tool, but there's not a lot to it from the rep side. So there's nothing to be intimidated by.
No, that's great. So what are some of the things that you've really noticed that's unique about it?
Well, for starters, this technique is really not for everybody. There's a lot of measured resection guys out there, and they're quite comfortable with what they're doing, and they're getting great results, so there's no reason in their mind to change. But you're going to see cases when you start utilizing this where the rotation of that femoral component absolutely has to be adjusted. And so it's well worthwhile to catch those outliers to have those well-balanced inflection at the end of the case by utilizing the system. And it doesn't take a lot for the surgeon to use either. So it's pretty straightforward.
And who do you think we should be targeting when we're out talking to surgeons? Like, who would be interested in this system?
So whether you guys know it or not, there's limb balancing guys that are out in your territories right now, and they're very into the techniques that they're utilizing for it. So these are the guys you want to go talk to first, because we've got a tool that we're talking their language now, and they like to talk about it. So these guys are very easy to approach if you've got something for them. There's measured resection guys that have had experience with it, and for whatever reason, they may have not had the right tools, they may have not had the right system, and they just never got into it. So when you're talking to a doctor, it's worthwhile bringing this up, because it may catch somebody's ear, and it really is a worthwhile tool.
And what are some last question? What are some tips and tricks that you've learned while using the system?
So I think the biggest thing is just don't overcomplicate it. This is a very straightforward, simple system, but it's very powerful. So, you may not need to adjust your rotation. And if that's the case, just pin the blocks, make your cuts, and you're done. But for those cases where you do need to adjust it, it really is a valuable piece of that total knee replacement. I mean, it's going to it'll make a difference throughout the life of that knee. So it's worthwhile looking at it, and it's a pretty powerful tool in the right hands.
No, that's great. Thank you so much, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you.
Really appreciate that overview, guys. Remember, as we move through the summer months, let's make sure to keep our focus on promoting our surgeon visitation program for knees. Consider a visit to Chicago to visit Dr. Dave Manning and Dr. Matt Beal at Northwestern University to do a world-class deep dive around the spirit knee. Or concerning partial knees, get down to Florida, go to Pennsylvania, go to Louisville, Kentucky, to discuss the MOTO with Dr. Karina, Dr. Molly, and Dr. Nawab. At the end of the day, we just want to make sure that we keep the communication open and you let us know how we can best assist you with your knee planning, and we give you our word we're going to make every effort to ensure your success. Moving on now, as you know, the Medacta shoulder system is really starting to pick up some momentum now. We previewed the shoulder system at the San Diego Shoulder Course last month in San Diego, and Adam Hawkins is going to join us now with a review of some of the key information that was shared at that meeting. Adam?
Hello, Medacta. This is Adam Hawkins from the shoulder team. For this podcast, I want to summarize some of the more interesting topics discussed at the San Diego Shoulder meeting. The first panel was regarding pyrocarbon devices and stemless components. Due to regulatory differences, Europe has been utilizing pyrocarbon materials in the shoulder for some time. There are anatomic designs as well as more controversial pyrocarbon ball designs utilized in salvage procedures. Nothing conclusive came out of the meeting regarding pyrocarbons, as the jury is still out on whether this prohibitively expensive material provides additional benefits to the patient. Stemless components were a more favorable topic, as surgeons like canal-sparing devices for younger, more active patients, preserving bone stock for future use. That being said, all of the stemless devices currently on the market in the U.S. are for total shoulder applications exclusively, without the ability to convert to a reverse. There's still a pretty sizable cohort of surgeons that prefer a short stem device, as it's clear to convert to a reverse down the road while still preserving bone stock. The second panel was regarding subscap repair and total shoulder arthroplasty. Ultimately, surgeons concluded through a variety of studies that an LTO, peel, and tenotomy all work well. It's just important that surgeons do what they're comfortable with. The third panel was focused around infection, primarily centered around protocol. Infections in the shoulder occur somewhere between 0.5% to 4% of the time. There seems to be two schools of thought surrounding infection in the shoulder. A two-stage protocol involves pulling all the hardware out of the joint and placing a temporary spacer for a period of time, and then replacing with new hardware once the infection clears. The second utilizes one stage, replacing the infected components with new hardware, removing all necrotic bone and tissue, and utilizing bone cement. The two-stage protocol seemed to be preferable for most surgeons, but there's certainly a case to be made for some patients to endure only one revision procedure. The fourth panel was surrounding glenoid deformity and proved to be one of the more controversial topics of the day. Surgeons have been utilizing augmented components for a number of years now and have had some success with these components, especially when coupled with patient-specific instrumentation. Bone grafting is still the gold standard, as complications are more easily managed. If the bone incorporates, you have a variety of options available for future corrections. If it doesn't, you can still utilize an augmented component. If an augmented component fails, you're typically left with a bigger deformity than you began with, and less options for revision. The fifth and final panel was surrounding reverse shoulder arthroplasty use in young patients. As surgeons have become more proficient with the reverse and longer-term data has continued to trend positively, surgeons have continued to lower their operative age for reversers, focusing more on the pathology. If a surgeon believes a procedure will benefit a patient and expectations are properly set, they are more likely to go to a reverse. The key for many of these surgeons is to manage potential problems down the road by minimizing bone loss and utilizing platform systems with convertible components. I hope my summary serves the talk's justice, as this meeting really is a fantastic opportunity to learn about shoulder arthroplasty. Hope to see you there next year as Medacta continues to expand in this exciting market.
Thanks, Adam. And thanks to all you for joining us for this month's More Talk. We appreciate your feedback, so please don't be shy about letting us know how we might design the content to suit your needs going forward. We're going to be back next month following up on quite a few items of importance to you, the Medacta sales associate. So for all of us here at Medacta USA, this is Matt DeLong, and I want to thank you for your attention today. We'll see you next time on More Talk.
More Talk was brought to you by the team at the Moore Institute. Please look for more communication from the team at Medacta USA via email throughout the month. And don't forget to log in to the Medacta Intranet, your all-access pass to valuable product and educational materials. We'll talk more soon.